Don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoconomy Quick Read. What is up, crew? Welcome back to the Cryptoconomy Podcast. I am amped up on some coffee today. And we are reading one that I have been waiting to get to here. Where is it? I've lost my tab. Okay, yeah, this is from theblockcrypto.com. That's all one word, theblockcrypto.com. And it is written by Arjun Balaji. I will link to his Twitter. But this one is From Reckless to Wombology, Lightning Network's Infrastructural Buildout. And this is all going through all, pretty much all of the major developments that are either coming online now or are literally on the verge of being released and being worked on constantly as we speak, that are going to be major improvements and user experience developments in the Lightning Network software and protocol. So we've got some really, really exciting stuff, and this is going to go through a ton of content. So this might be one to listen to a couple of times because it's pretty dense. But before we get into it, let's talk real quick about the new platform I am using, Anchor.fm. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into this article, or we are going to miss a bunch of other developments that come out in our delay, because the pace of Lightning Network development has been crazy. HODL HTLCs, I think, actually were posted. I did not see anything about those, actually, until after this one. And, I mean, there's been a couple of things just in the last week or two that have come out. So there's just tons and tons of stuff happening with the Lightning Network, and it's so exciting. But do not forget to check out, this was published on theblockcrypto.com, which you can find, Mike Dudas, I think I'm saying that right, D-U-D-A-S, his tag on Twitter is M-D-U-D-A-S, who runs, The Block Crypto, I think they're Twitter tag is just like the block or something, block underscore or something, maybe at the block underscore. Is that two underscores? Yes, that's two underscores, at the block underscore. And then you can find Arjun Balaji. I'm totally guessing on that name. I have no idea if I'm saying that right. So if I'm butchering it, I apologize. But you can find him at ArjunBLJ. Obviously, I will tag both of their profiles and the link to the article. But Arjun is the author here, and Mike Dudas is the owner of The Block Crypto. Great place to find a lot of awesome content. I think we've read something from up here on the show before, but I cannot remember specifically. So, and I don't know if I can go through all of my previous reads and actually find it. But without further ado, let's go ahead and jump in to this article by Arjun Balaji, From Reckless to Wombology, Lightning Network's Infrastructural Buildout. Quick take. The Lightning Network has incredible momentum heading into 2019 with upgrades across liquidity provisioning, privacy, security, and usability. The first apps are starting to be built as developer confidence improves and barriers to entry drop. Lightning Network's infrastructural buildout was one of the most anticipated developments of the second half of 2018. Significant progress in both R&D and implementation has increased hype and anticipation for what is setting up to be a year of major improvements to the network. The Lightning Network's goal is simple: provide a way for users to easily facilitate off-chain payments as fast and reliably as possible while keeping the design accessible to the average user. Expecting users to run full nodes is a prerequisite or attempting to have them manage channel liquidity manually is infeasible. As such, the primary focus of Lightning development in 2019 is centered around four areas. 1. Improving security guarantees in the system. 2. Maximizing liquidity at all steps of the process, from ease of funding to liquidity provisioning within channels. 3. Improving privacy. And 4. Simplifying the user experience as much as possible. This is not a gentle introduction to the Lightning Network. Aaron von Wertheim's excellent three-part series on how the Lightning Network works is an excellent resource for those looking for an introduction. With this post, link of Aaron's, serving as a good resource for initial exploration of these developments. We have actually covered all of the linked articles on this show, so if you would like to listen to these as well, the three-part Lightning series is episodes or quick reads 47, 48, and 49, and then the post, the initial exploration of these Lightning developments, is episode or quick read number 70. This article is aimed at informing users who are familiar with the basic mechanics of the network about what's in the development pipeline. For those interested in a more in-depth treatment, the Bitcoin OpTech newsletter and Lightning Dev mailing lists are a treasure trove of debate over protocol specifications, progress updates, and indications of what's on the roadmap. Both links provided. Lightning infrastructure and products. It's important to start with infrastructure. That's where much of the development has been focused, laying the groundwork for both future use for payments and more advanced application development. There are several Lightning Network clients, the three most popular being LND from Lightning Labs, written in Go, Eclair from Async, Scala, and Blockstream's C-Lightning, C, of course. New interfaces like Pierre Richard's Node Launcher allow for easy setup with both a Bitcoin and Lightning node with very simple graphical user interfaces, which can then be connected to a host of wallets including Zap, Spark, Wallet of Satoshi, etc. User-oriented products like BitRefill are aimed at making it easier for users to open and fund channels. Casa's node is an out-of-the-box Bitcoin and Lightning node that looks good in your apartment. Similarly, BTC Pay Server, OpenNode, CoinGate, Globee, and Async's Strike allow developers to easily integrate Lightning payments. Lightning Jewel is an open-source MetaMask-like wallet built by Will O'Byrne that allows for easy, browser-based Lightning payments. While it's still in alpha, it hints at what future user experience will look like, including a potential identity solution. It wouldn't be surprising to see other Ethereum dApp design patterns similarly adopted. Apps that have integrated Lightning Jewel already include LightningSpin.com and Lightning Koala's LN Chess. There are also some fun products being built integrating Lightning. It's important to note, while the apps appear simplistic, the Lightning Network hasn't yet reached full maturity. Further improvement of developer tooling like WebLN will allow for easier integration in the future as the barrier to entry drops. Some of my favorite nascent demos include MicroBet, a Lightning-enabled prediction market, and Yawls, a micropayment-enabled content site. Technical improvements. Lightning development in 2018 was showcased at the second Lightning Development Summit in Adelaide, Australia. Just 2 years after the initial Lightning Network specification was presented in Milan, the spec for version 1.1 was kicked off with dozens of potential proposals fighting for inclusion. Since Lightning is built on Bitcoin, many future improvements are downstream of technical improvements to the base layer. The majority of improvements in the latest Lightning spec focus on the key areas specified above: usability, security, liquidity provisioning, and privacy. The features explored are in various stages, ranging from proposal to working implementation. A bulk of these improvements are slated for inclusion over the course of the year, setting up for a big year for Lightning Network. Neutrino. Unlike full nodes, which have a full historical record of transactions, lightweight nodes only sync block headers and use a method called Simple Payment Verification, or SPV, originally described in the Bitcoin white paper, to verify transactions. Mobile devices, underpowered with limited bandwidth and power, instead have lightweight nodes operating behind their wallets. Lightweight nodes still need to be connected to full nodes to validate transactions. In this process, clients send a filter called a Bloom filter to a full node, which then returns a set of relevant transactions, which are then used locally by the wallet for validation. Unfortunately, this process is shown to cause privacy loss, as it's possible for a listening node to detect wallet addresses. In addition, a potentially malicious node may choose to omit relevant transactions. Since Lightning transactions are responsive to on-chain events, an omission would be problematic. To solve this, Lightning Labs' Lau Lua Suntiken, or Roast Beef, and Alex Axelrod and Jim Posen presented Neutrino, an experimental lightweight client aimed at, quote, minimizing bandwidth and storage use while attempting to preserve privacy, end quote, via BIP-157 and BIP-158. Neutrino uses filters, specifically Golom coding sets, or GCS filters. GCS filters offer a much greater degree of compression, enabling Neutrino clients to use much less storage and bandwidth. Neutrino is currently in active development and is expected to fully hit mainnet this year. Currently, users have to run a full node in order to operate a Lightning wallet. Neutrino is currently available in LND and Lightning Apps Alpha testnet. Once it's fully deployed on the mainnet, mobile Lightning wallets will be able to offer extremely straightforward user experience as sync times drop to minutes and users won't have to run full nodes to use Lightning. Submarine swaps. Submarine swaps were developed by Alex Bosworth and originally termed by Roast Beef as a way to make off-chain and on-chain payments more seamless. Today, most wallets delineate between Bitcoin that exists on-chain and Bitcoin that exists in Lightning channels. Even though both are theoretically fungible Bitcoins, Bitcoin that exists on-chain can't be used to settle a Lightning transaction. Submarine swaps allow users to send Lightning payments to middlemen who then settle transactions on-chain, or vice versa. Though these middlemen can charge fees, stealing Bitcoin in this type of transaction is impossible as the entire process happens atomically. Submarine swaps can also be used in cross-chain atomic swaps, allowing users to swap BTC with LTC or BCH. Submarine swaps also go a long way to assuage concerns about routing imbalances. While submarine swaps appear to be a temporary stopgap in light of potentially better solutions, it exists today and can be used to improve the user experience of atomically moving between on-chain and off-chain Bitcoin balances. Dual-funded channels. Currently, Lightning channels can only be funded by a single party. If Arjun and Mike want to open a channel between them, and Arjun funds a channel with 0.1 BTC, Arjun can send Mike a payment and route through Mike, but can't receive payments directly from or routed through Mike until Mike has funded the transaction. Sourcing this inbound capacity for payments is difficult. In Lightning's nascent growth, it often requires offline coordination. In a dual-funded channel, Arjun would fund a channel with 0.1 BTC if Mike also funds a channel with 0.1 BTC. This comes with cost. Opening a channel requires an on-chain transaction and opportunity cost of the capital committed. However, Mike can earn routing fees, earned by merit of providing liquidity to the network. While there are concerns that fees may be too low to provide incentive for large liquidity providers, for example merchants, proposals like Lisa Nygut's are in the works to potentially allow channels to signal their willingness to provide inbound capacity for Lightning channels, along with a certain fee expectation. While dual-funded channels are already in Lightning Network's LND, they're not really exposed to the network. With adoption growth, dual-funded channels allow even larger liquidity provisioners, like exchanges, to more easily onboard users to the Lightning Network by providing incoming channel capacity. Atomic Multipath Payments, or AMPs. Atomic Multipath Payments came out of a 2018 mailing list proposal from Roast Beef and Connor Fromnecht, answering the question, quote, I have five $2 channels. Is it possible for me to atomically send $6 to fulfill a payment? End quote. The way payments are currently routed is through a single path from Origin's channel through Mike's to Larry's. This works well for small payments where there's enough liquidity in each channel to seamlessly route a payment, but it comes with a serious limitation. If Origin's funds are spread across multiple channels, Origin has limited access to liquidity. AMP solves this by allowing multiple partial payments to go through different channels and guarantee proper receipt using the same security mechanism of single path payments. The smaller bits of a payment can only be redeemed if all parts are sent, which avoids issues with partial payments. While the specification of AMP isn't finalized, there are several proposals including the OG AMP and Base AMP. Full deployment of AMP will meaningfully improve the user experience around payment routing and improve liquidity in the Lightning Network. Splicing. For now, increasing a channel's capacity or taking money on-chain requires closing a channel and takes time. A new proposed feature, splicing, originated from Rusty Russell last October, allows users to coordinate an on-chain transaction to add or remove funds from a channel. Right now, many Lightning Network wallets have both on-chain and off-chain balances. Once splicing is fully integrated, users will be able to send on-chain transactions from their off-chain balances. Splicing also allows users to directly deposit into channel addresses, so it materially improves routing efficiency in the network, in addition to providing flexibility over expanding and contracting channel balances. Splicing serves as a significant improvement to today's submarine swaps, as it cuts out the need for a middleman in the settlement process. This is strongly synergistic with AMP. A world with both AMP and splicing allows users to receive an invoice in their Lightning wallet, make a payment, allow their wallet to draw from on-chain balances and off-chain channels from a number of different channels seamlessly without worrying about manually managing liquidity. The future of the Lightning user experience is promising. You can imagine a world where users have the option to make different decisions about the speed of their payment being routed versus the cost, for example, and different trade-offs that come out of a robust, liquid routing fee market. Wombology. Wombology is a reference to an episode of SpongeBob where Patrick Starr invents the word to mean big. In the Lightning Network, this means channels are getting bigger. Currently, the Lightning Network has a channel size limit of 0.16 Bitcoin and a payment limit of 0.04 Bitcoin. As developers gain comfort with the security of their implementations, bits that indicate that a client can expand channel capacity will be available, allowing double opt-in support for much larger channels than there were previously possible. The power of Wombology will bring greater liquidity to the network as channel capacities increase and payments can more easily be routed through the system. While Lightning started out hashtag reckless, indicating that upon 2018's launch it was still immature and funds could be lost, the proposal to increase channel limits represents a major step in the maturity of the network. Sphinx Send. Just this week, Roast Beef landed a pull request for the Sphinx Send feature, building on an older non-Bitcoin paper. In Lightning, while Arjun and Mike may trust each other, they don't know all the owners of all the channels along which their payment is being routed. As a privacy improvement to the Lightning Network, Sphinx constructed routes allow the sender's identity to be obfuscated in this process. In addition, Sphinx construction allows Lightning to work without having recipients request invoices first. This was previously a major Lightning user experience headache, so it constitutes a major improvement. Sphinx Send is currently in development, but can be used today once it's merged and nodes are fully upgraded. Sphinx Sends potentially unlock new kinds of one-way payment use cases. L2 and Channel Factories. L2 is a protocol first proposed in an April 2018 paper from Blockstream's C-Lightning team and Lightning Labs' Roast Beef. In the current implementation of the Lightning Network, a user can lose funds by restoring from an outdated backup. Broadcasting these older balances is equivalent to cheating, and users are penalized by forfeiting their funds. Important point, watchtower backups and/or other continuous backups largely obviate this issue. In L2, if a user broadcasts an old state, their counterparty has a window to broadcast the latest transaction to correct the final balance. This arbitration system makes it much easier and computationally efficient for payment channels to be opened between many users in a single on-chain transaction per Bitcoin Optech's update. Most importantly, L2 makes backups less dangerous and watchtowers more efficient, as only the latest state needs to be stored and not prior states, though this comes with its own privacy trade-offs. This also enables downstream improvements like channel factories. Today, operating a Lightning channel requires two on-chain transactions, one to open and one to close. Channel factories are aimed at making this process more efficient. While two on-chain transactions per channel, which could offer a theoretically unlimited number of off-chain transactions, doesn't seem like very much, channel factories allow multiple users to open unlimited intra-group channels. Particularly as product offerings implementing the Lightning Network are built by larger companies, this could significantly decrease the number of on-chain transactions required to participate. Both proposals require a soft fork to add a new signature hash flag, BIP-118, SIGHASH_NOINPUT_UNSAFE, which allows signatures to authorize the spending of all UTXOs that could be spent by a given private key, rather than individual UTXOs. Core developers are optimistic that this could potentially be rolled into a larger soft fork, potentially with Schnorr signatures. One of the major concerns voiced by critics early on about the Lightning Network was, quote, "Won't high on-chain transaction fees increase Lightning centralization?" end quote, due to the inaccessibility of opening channels. Channel factories help mitigate this concern by enabling easier opening and closing of channels. Further on-chain improvements, like Schnorr signatures, should help compress signature sizes even further, making Lightning even more accessible. Watchtowers. While Lightning users will be able to use more advanced filtering features like Neutrino's GCS to grab relevant on-chain transactions, watchtowers provide an additional guarantee that users aren't being cheated by their counterparties on the Lightning Network. Watchtowers were first described in the Lightning white paper, though the initial design has been significantly improved upon. One of the initial concerns with the Lightning Network was, quote, "Since the payments are off-chain, what if a counterparty cheats me by broadcasting an invalid state, for example, if I'm offline," end quote. Outsourcing monitoring for malicious actors to watchtowers is one potential solution to this problem, and a similar design is included in other payment channel systems, like Ethereum's Raiden, which calls them, quote, "monitoring services." In the watchtower system, when Arjun and Mike have a channel open, Arjun would broadcast a signature authorizing all funds to be transferred back to Arjun in the event of malicious activity by Mike. This broadcasted data should be enough to detect invalid states while preserving the privacy of the individual payments in the channel. if there's an invalid state broadcast by Mike, where the funds are then locked for some time, Arjun has the opportunity to claim all funds deposited in the Lightning Channel. While some may cry centralization, watchtowers are not part of the core protocol design. They will be run and operated by third parties, though advanced users may run their own via full node. Watchtowers may charge fees for watching transactions as they have operating costs. In the future, watchtowers may be a service offering from exchanges or other large businesses seeking to help onboard users to the Lightning Network, though their design poses some privacy concerns. I couldn't be more excited to see the growth of Lightning in 2019 as it finally grows out of its initial infrastructural and design pains with accelerated product development and liquidity. Follow along with Lightning's growth and stay hashtag reckless. Link. Arjun Balaji is the founder of Shomei Capital and an advisor to The Block. He holds some Bitcoin. Parts of this article have been lightly edited for technical clarity after comments from members of the Lightning Labs team. All right, and that will conclude From Reckless to Wombology, Lightning Network's Infrastructural Buildout by Arjun Balaji and posted on theblockcrypto.com, operated by Mike Dudas. That's at MDUDAS and at @theblock__ on Twitter, and then at @ARJUNBLJ. I think I have Arjun's right. I'm gonna check that one more time just in case. ARJUNBLJ. Yeah, that's right. Okay. And of course, I will link to all of their pages and the article in question on the show notes and in the Twitter post. Now, there is a lot to break down with this, particularly because I heard someone, there was some sort of a discussion on, I guess it was Twitter, maybe Reddit, I don't know, I'll see if I can dig into it and find it for the next episode, but there is a lot to talk about in this, and I actually want to make a comparison with a much more detailed comparison with how internet routing is managed currently, like on like our current internet infrastructure, and basically compare it or talk about the relationship with a lot of these different tools that we're seeing in the Lightning Network, because there are a lot of analogous patterns and kind of mechanisms going on here that essentially determine the best route that a wallet can take. And it looks like a ton of complexity going on in the background, but it's very clear that a lot of this stuff is going to work together extremely well. Like there's going to be a managing in the client on the client side of the different trade-offs for whichever protocol, whether it be splicing or aggregating a transaction or doing part on-chain and part Lightning, submarine swaps, doing AMP payments, like the number of different combinations that can be had in order to make a payment go through, these things can and will work together at the user experience side of things. And even though it seems like a lot, It's exactly the level, like there is so much stuff going on in a router and building a routing table on the internet, just as much or more so than these kinds of developments here. And I kind of want to go through and show an analogy of how this happens on the internet and how we can get that same seamless interaction from the user to the actual protocol without them knowing the level of complexity and decision-making that's going on within the device or the client that they're using. So I want to dig into this a lot more in-depth than would be kind of hidden behind the reading here, because we've covered a lot of this stuff already on the show. So I'm going to make this a full-on, like a standalone guys take episode before we get into our next quick read. I will probably be releasing this on Wednesday. Maybe if I get really amped up tomorrow with my coffee, I'll do this as early as tomorrow, but just keep an ear out this week. I'm going to dig into that because I really want to explain. I think there's a lot of complexity that goes on in current internet routing that people do not think about. And there are tons of essentially micro judgments that are happening with a router or a modem on the internet that that stacked on top of each other would seem like these 200 things working together would never maintain a reliable connection. And yet, you know, here I am on the internet, I haven't had a problem in weeks, and who knows how many different judgments and reconfigurations and new paths my computer is taking to reach, you know, Twitter or Google or whatever it is that I'm talking to on the internet. So there's a lot to dig into there, and I really love that kind of discussion. So we are going to jump into it. Do not miss that episode. In the meantime, don't forget to follow Arjun and Mike and The Block Crypto on Twitter. Again, I will link to all of their stuff and to the article, which has a ton. There were a lot of links in that article to other things, like pretty much any time, like they talk about neutrino, Bloom filters, simple payment verification, Jewel, Lightning Jewel, LN Chess, WebLN, Yawls, Microbet, OpenGate, I mean, CoinGate, OpenNode, BTC Pay Server, Globee, Strike. I mean, every single thing that they talked about, like in services, games, and different clients and stuff, pretty much has a link. So Arjun has an ocean of stuff to just go take a lightning vacation day, take a day off from work, and just go through all of this stuff and dig into it. There's so much great stuff here. So definitely go check out the link and check out theblockcrypto.com to find more about this and discussion of all other things Bitcoin and crypto in general. And don't forget to check out cryptoeconomy.life. I've got a lot of stuff that I'm working on with this, expanding what I am doing and trying to clean up the website with a new look. Alina from Casa let me know that she was having problem playing one of the recent episodes, the Casa 7 Guiding Principles. So if anybody gets an opportunity, I've asked a couple other people to do this, but if anybody gets an opportunity to go to that page and check those top posts and make sure that they are playing both in mobile and on their desktop, I just want to make sure that everything is working because it's working on my side. I'm using it on my iPhone. It plays fine. I'm using it on my computer. It plays fine. But, you know, just because it works on my computer does not mean it works on other people's. And I want to make sure that as I do all of this work with the website, that I'm making a change that is not going to make it so nobody can listen to my stuff. So if anybody gets an opportunity to check that out and give me a test run there and send me a DM on Twitter or just leave me a comment on the actual post on the blog, that would be amazing. And also, of course, on cryptoeconomy.life, you can find literally hundreds of other articles read aloud and other discussions and interviews and just tons and tons of stuff. I got the Bitcoin Survivors book list up there if you want to dig into some of the economics, the cypherpunk history, and the insights and perspective that make you realize and just see the broader picture of just how powerful and impactful this tool can be, both Bitcoin and in some ways the Lightning Network. There is so much good stuff in the Bitcoin Survivors book list. I have read all of them now except which ones? There's still like one or two. I just finished The Rational Optimist again. I hadn't listened to that one or read that one in a very, very long time. And I just listened to it on Audible finished The Selfish Gene, which I had started years ago and never actually completed. What else have I not completed up here? I haven't read them all, have I? I haven't finished The Ethics of Money Production. That one is amazing, by the way, but I actually have not finished that one. But that, along with the other great resources we have and the long reads that I have on the website, excuse me, are great places to go to really dig into this stuff, the ideology, the history and the understanding of all of this. So check out cryptoeconomy.life and the playlists, the quick reads, the long reads, the articles, and the Bitcoin Survivors book list hopefully will hold you over until I get my next things out for the website and until the next episode of the Cryptoeconomy podcast. Don't forget to share this and subscribe. Retweet it out to everybody else you know in the crypto space so that they too can have access to all of these audio reads of literally hundreds of articles now. And I will catch you next time on the show. Thanks for listening, guys. This has been the Cryptoeconomy podcast. And always remember to take it easy.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.